You're listening to the Talking About Jesus podcast, sponsored by Quippers International. I'm your host, Cliff Knipe. These podcasts are dedicated to encouraging you in your walk with Jesus by providing solid biblical and practical insights into the Christian life and what it means to know Jesus Christ. Welcome to Talking About Jesus.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Talking About Jesus podcast. Glad you've joined us again. In this week's podcast, I want to kind of pick up on a similar theme to our first episode where I shared about Jesus preparing a place for us. And if you listen to that podcast, you remember that I talked about a passage in John chapter 14 where Jesus was sharing with his disciples about going and preparing a place for them, and that if he did that, he would come back and receive them to himself so that where he is, they can also be. And you remember that I told you in that little teaching that I believe that Jesus's promise to them in John chapter 14 was fulfilled, and that because of the work that Jesus did on the cross, that we can be with him and that we actually have a dwelling place in him. And then one of the greatest themes that Paul takes up is this in Christ, Christ in us, and us in Christ idea. I'm sure I'll talk about that a lot more in the coming weeks, because that's one of my favorite ideas concerning the Christian life. But today, I just want to pick up and share something with you along the same lines, but bring it down to kind of a much more practical level. It's an interesting topic to take up in a podcast, but it has to do with living this life and what we can expect in the life thereafter, so to speak. And in order to lay the groundwork for this week's teaching, I just want to read two scriptures. Both of them are a little bit lengthy, but hearing the word of God is never a bad thing. So I just want to read these two scriptures. First scripture, both scriptures are out of Paul. And the first is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 9 verses. And then the second passage that we'll look at is in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25. Now, I'm not obviously going to be able to have time to go through all these verses, verse by verse. And the Romans passage is more of a support passage and to kind of give us a place to wrap up this time together. So I'm not going to go into much detail of that passage, but our focus will be 2 Corinthians 5. But nonetheless, let me read both passages to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, Paul says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge." Verse 6, "Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him." I'm going to stop there at the end of verse 9. Now, I want to read Romans 8, starting in verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly the adoption as sons, which is the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Now, that's a lot of scripture, but let me go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because that's, like I said when I started, that's going to be our primary focus today. Paul is taking up the idea of life and death in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's very clear he's talking about our earthly bodies in regards to what it will look like when we're not on earth anymore. Now, the main topic really that underlines what I want to share today is the topic of the temporal versus the eternal. The concept that the Christian life is very much has to do with the notion that there is a real eternal aspect and a very real temporal aspect. This is what I would say for many Christians is where the rub comes. It's where we read so many things in the scripture that give us this beautiful description of what things are like eternally, but then we look at our natural circumstances and the temporal realm and the time realm, and we say, wow, it seems like there's something different going on. And though this is a very important idea for us as Christians to kind of get our heads around, and Paul is dealing in this domain in these two passages in a very real sense. And he's speaking specifically about our experience in our physical bodies versus what our experience is going to look like one day in not having a physical body. Now, I'm not by any means going to try to tackle in this episode the ideas surrounding life after death and what that looks like. Maybe we'll take that up in a different episode. But right now, I just want to focus on the attitude and the perspective that Paul's encouraging us to have. If we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul starts by saying there that we know that if we have an earthly tent, which is our house, and it's torn down, that we actually have a building from God. Now, the words here, obviously, in the English are different. They're different in the Greek as well. Paul says, on one regard, that the earthly body that we now live in is a tent. The little Greek word there is skenos. Ironically, it's the only passage in the whole Bible that uses this word. It's a word that Paul imports in from the Greek language that is not really used anywhere else. It would be amiss to say it's the notion linked to the tabernacle, as some would be tempted to say, but it does have this idea of a very temporary, non-secure tent. Many of us like to go camping, you know, and we pitch our tents. And you know, our family has done a lot of camping over the years with friends. And one of the things you find out very quickly is the quality of your tent when the wind blows or when the rain comes, you know, and most people's tent usually falls down or gets blown over. And so they have a negative experience about camping. Some people enjoy that. But anyway, nonetheless, you get the idea. The word picture here is that it's a very temporary, non-secure structure. And Paul says that we know if we have a tent in our earthly dwelling, then we have a building from God. Now, this is the Greek word oikodome, and that is a very permanent structure. It is a building from God. Paul immediately is drawing a distinct difference between what we have in this life in regards to our body as a tent and what we will have in the life after this life as being a permanent dwelling place of God that he's prepared for us. And the second thing, I just want to step through some general thoughts through this passage. The second thing that Paul talks about, he says, indeed, in verse 2, in this house we groan. And we're longing to be clothed with that dwelling, that permanent dwelling from heaven, he calls it. You know, it's very normal for us to desire to put on our heavenly dwelling. It's a normal part of life as the believer. Paul tells us in Romans 8, where we read also, he says, you know, one of the main things that creates this longing in our hearts to be clothed with this permanent place is the sufferings that we go through in this life and in this existence. I love what Paul starts in Romans 8, verse 18. He says, for we consider that the sufferings in this present life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. There is something very important to say about perspective when it comes to the hardships and the pressings. And the Bible has lots of different words for this, tribulation and hardship. You know, Jesus said, he promised the disciples in John, he says, you will, in this life, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome this world. Sorry, he said, in this world, you'll have trouble. So hardship, trouble, sufferings, pressings, tribulations, persecutions, whatever form you want to look at it, the end result is the same. When we experience those things, we groan and we have a desire to get out of here. That's a very common desire. And Paul says it's not a problem for us to desire to be clothed with this dwelling that is from heaven. In fact, he goes on to say that it's actually God who has now prepared us for this very purpose. In verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 5, he says it's God who has prepared us for this. And we know that he's prepared us because he has given us the Spirit that dwells within us as a guarantee, as a pledge, as it's literally a down payment. It's like going in to buy something. You want to buy a new car and you're financing at the bank, but you go in and you put a down payment. That down payment says, I am committed to buying this car. You know, and when God put his Spirit within us, it was a down payment. I know that being filled with the Spirit, being able to experience a spiritual life and a Spirit-filled life and fellowship with the Lord through the Spirit is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But folks, let me encourage you. It's encouraging to me. It is just a down payment. It is not the end all to beat all. It is amazing. And life without the Spirit, I can't imagine. But what it is to us is it's a reminder and it's proof that God has invested himself into something bigger than what we can see. So the Spirit is a pledge and down payment as proof to us that God has purposed something for us far beyond what we can see in this life. So as a result of this, Paul says in verse 6, therefore, we always have good courage. One of the biggest motivators in what I do and the reason why I teach and the reason why I share things like I'm sharing through this podcast and what I do in my ministry, it's really because I want to encourage people. Because I know life can be discouraging and I know situations and circumstances around us cause us to lose focus and lose perspective. And we need to be encouraged. You know, Paul says to take courage, but sometimes we need an engrafting of courage into our souls. And so Paul says, take courage. Now, this is where I want to focus the rest of the teaching. It's interesting what Paul does in verses 6 through 8 here. He does a play on words between being at home and being absent. Now, in verse 6, he tells us that we should know that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now, this does not in any means is a contradiction to what Paul teaches about us being in Christ and Christ being in us. We know that because we have the deposit of the Spirit, we share in the life of Christ and we have constant communion with him and we are always with the Lord. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will send the helper to be with you. And all these promises that we have the presence of the Lord. But Paul's talking on the natural level, folks. He's telling us that when we live in this life, we are not experiencing the ultimate place that we're going to be after this life. This is the hope of the Christian life. This is why Paul ends chapter 8 and he talks about hope, because hope which is seen is not hope. You don't hope in things you see. You hope in things you can't see. And when that hope is birthed in your heart through revelation that there's actually something better prepared for us, then it gives us reason to persevere. It's the foundation of our perseverance so that we can press on and get through this process with joy in our hearts. So Paul tells us that while we're at home in the body in this physical life, we are in a very real sense absent from the Lord. And then he stresses in verse 7 exactly what he does in Romans chapter 8. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's not that we can see everything that God has prepared for us. We have to believe it. And we have to walk by faith and trust the Lord that it's out there for us. And then he goes on to say, again in verse 8, so we are of good courage. And I say that I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. So here's this, it's kind of a juxtaposition. If we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But he says, I actually prefer to be absent from the body so that I can be at home with the Lord. So what is he saying? He's saying whatever our condition, whether we are at home, which means for Paul, in the body and absent from the Lord, or whether we're absent, which means from the body and being at home with the Lord, we make it our goal to be pleasing to the Lord. So Paul's saying we should feel at home in ourselves. We know that this is a dwelling that God has given us in this life to dwell in, and we can persevere. We can go through every situation and every circumstance that God brings our way because God has given us the grace and the capacity in this body to be in this place. But when we're here, we are literally absent from the Lord. But there is going to come a day when we are going to be absent from this body. And when you are absent from this body, you are at home with the Lord. Paul says it another way, and he says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you see, Paul recognizes that whether we are in this body, at home in this body, and absent from the Lord, or whether we are absent from this body and at home with the Lord, either place is a good place, and we should take courage. And it's ironic that Paul says we take it as our goal then to be pleasing to the Lord, whether we are at home or whether we are absent. So Paul's saying we still should have a desire, even when we're not in this body and we're actually present with the Lord, it's still our desire to be pleasing to him. Now that opens up a whole nother idea that we maybe can take up in a different passage of what life will look like when we're actually in the presence of the Lord. But for now, let's just leave it. But I just want to finish with these couple of verses at the end of Romans chapter 8 as just a reminder and encouragement to us. He says in Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, "So for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he has already seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." What I want to take away from this teaching is that while we experience life in a very real way, in a very physical way, in a way that many times is hard, it's taxing, it causes us to groan and to really desire sometimes just not to be here anymore, Paul encourages us and reminds us that we actually have something greater prepared for us. And that greater place is something that motivates us to have perseverance here. So the Lord is with us. He has prepared a place for us, but not only in this life to experience him, but he's also prepared a much greater place for us in the life after this life.